Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Oh.
Hello.
I'm here. Sorry.
Darn, James is going to do his Melissa impression. I missed it.
No, please do it. Hello!
It's always the same.
It's always the same.
Every impression is the same.
Every impression. And Seth.
Good morning.
Everybody here, we're going to have some fun this next hour. We got good things we're going to get into in a little bit. We're going to be talking about a fun one with summer hobbies and on a budget. We'll get into that. Got some good stories of the day and some local stuff we want to get to as well. We kick off the hour with some entertainment news. And how many people know who Carol Kaye is?
Carol Kaye.
Carol Kaye. K-A-Y-E is how you say that. Spell that last name. I thought that was pretty noteworthy.
Very good.
Well, you've heard Carol.
Not a relative of mine.
No.
Although you're both great musicians, Carol is one of the most recorded bass players in history.
That's right.
You may not know Carol, but you know Feeling All Right from Joe Cocker. Or I Heard That from Quincy Jones, Lived It Up from Jimmy Smith, Summer Days, Summer Nights from the Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Many, many hits that Carol played bass on. Yes. She was a part of one of the more influential and important studio bands of all time, The Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew out in Los Angeles, which also included such people as Glenn Campbell. Might have heard of him. He played on thousands of records as well. The other thing I want to make, and Hal Blaine, who was the drummer, again, played on a whole bunch. The thing I want to point out about Carol Kaye is that a lot of those bass lines, she came up with herself. If they were looking for something, it wasn't working, she decided, she just, on her own, figured out what the bass line would be, what would work, and there you go. The rest is history. Amazing musician. Absolutely amazing.
And she's 90.
It's amazing, yes.
And definitely somebody that I would say, in talking with my dad about this, somebody that I really respect on the music front and everything, you know, asking, hey, this person seems like they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all, there's just a pretty well consensus that, yes, she belongs in there. And everybody agrees with this except for Carol.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Carol Kaye, one of the most recorded bassists in rock and pop music history, announced on June 18th that she will be declining her invitation to this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Quote, people have been asking, no, I won't be there, big capital no, wrote the 90-year-old musician in a since-deleted Facebook post. Quote, I am declining the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Awards because it wasn't something that reflects the work that studio musicians do and did in the golden era of the 1960s recording hits. During the 60s and 70s, Kaye was part of a group of session musicians in Los Angeles known as the Wrecking Crew, a collection, as Seth was touching on there, along with collaborating with Beach Boys, Phil Spector, The Monkees, and so many more. Mm-hmm. In 2008, Danny Tedesco directed a documentary on the group, which featured Kaye. However, the 90-year-old musician has long objected to the group moniker. In a 2015 interview, Kaye said that, quote, the first time the phrase was used was in Hal Blaine's book. I had no idea he was going to do something phony. It's a lie. We were all independent people. There was no set band.
Mm-hmm. Which is true.
Hal Blaine, a, quote, Wrecking Crew drummer, said in the same interview that Kaye had somehow forgotten that the Wrecking Crew was established in the early 60s. But this is not the way she remembers it.
No.
Quote, I was never a wrecker at all, she wrote in her Facebook post. That's a terrible, insulting name.
Wow.
Kaye ended her post with a very strong dissent. I refuse to be a part of a process that is something else rather than what I believe in, for others' benefit and not reflecting on the truth. We all enjoyed working with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kaye still being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame despite her absence. She will still be inducted.
Yes.
And so she's still going in and everything. But I've never heard of this before.
Mm.
I've never. Now, I, as a little kid, remember Marlon Brando, you know, turning down an Oscar. Right. We've seen little bits of this in history and stuff with people doing these things. They're usually, you know, in fact, I think almost every single time, in like in Brando's sense, it's for a cause or to bring attention to something that they find important or something like that. I don't know that I've ever heard of somebody like this is so important to her and it means so much to her that she is willing to do something like this. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the only thing I could think of is, you know, Robert Rodriguez, you hear me rambling about acting every day, and I wanted to do this since I was seven. That's Robert Rodriguez with directing. Mm-hmm. That's all he ever wanted. He believed in the movie Sin City and doing it the way he was going to do it with Frank Miller so much that he ripped up his Directors Guild card. And he's still to this day not in the Directors Guild. and so to believe in your art so much that you would fight against your dream, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's her dream to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
But this is it's the only thing like this. It's the only lifetime achievement award in some ways if you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a ground to take on this, and I really like. It's hard for me not to back her on this with how much how adamant she is about against that name so much. So, and the idea that studio. Maybe you can see this better than I do, Seth, but it feels like a lot of what she's saying here is studio musicians, they're doing the job, they don't want the attention. They don't want the fame. That's not what this is about. Whether we're talking about Bob Dylan and the Band or some of these other famous studio musician groups, quote unquote.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know necessarily if I'm seeing this right.
It depends on, the person, kind of. I really believe that. Because obviously Glenn Campbell was a good example of, he was a session guitarist, but he wanted to be a performer. He wanted to have his own, and he was able to do that. The other ones, and it looks like Carol was not interested in that at all. All she wanted to do was her job, which is play bass on recordings. I'm thinking, from what I've heard from both her and Hal Blaine, it sounds like hers is probably closer to the truth, because they were. Each session, they hired certain people.
They weren't
group.
A band.
No. No, they would say, okay, we need this guy, we need a guitarist here, we need we need a bassist, we need this drummer, we need another guitarist, or someone play harmonica, whatever. We need these people. Who's available? Who do we think can cop this lick? We need people who are good in order to do this. And so it makes more sense to what she is saying. That's like, we were hired to do a job, and we did a job. We weren't a band. We liked hanging out, but you never knew who was going to be in a session with you. But you just end up, you're all really good. So you ended up in a lot of sessions together. But they weren't a unit kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets kind of lost.
And it looks like she went into session work because it paid better than playing in jazz clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she took it up as a full-time career.
Yeah.
It does seem like she's really focused on the moniker to Wrecking Crew. She really doesn't like that.
Yeah. And I can understand because especially if it was something that he just, like Hal Blaine just said, okay, we were the Wrecking Crew kind of thing, just kind of threw it out there later. And it's something they didn't do when they were playing and in sessions together. So
I say, I really admire it. I really, whether you agree with it or not.
It's him taking credit for something that she did by including her in something he named.
Yeah. Which is probably why she's upset about it.
She is set to receive the Musical Excellence Award. Other inductees, of course, this year include Bad Company, Joe Cocker, Chubby Checker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, and the White Stripes.
Nice.
That's going to be a fun. That's
a good one. I hope
you were seeing some of this set up.
It looked like they were getting everything set up. So outside, they have a big platform out there. So it's actually not a very big space. So if you get invited, it's a very limited number of people that can go to this because there's not a lot of space there. So
should be interesting. I don't know how I did this, but I've done this since the two shows existed. Somehow I mix up Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Sabrina the Teenage Witch all the time.
Really?
They both had blonde stars. Maybe that's what it was. Little blonde people.
I hope it's not that, but it could be that. I really don't like my brain sometimes.
And they have all three. Both of them had three names. Melissa Joan Hart and Sarah Michelle Gellar. There you go. Mm-hmm.
I had this story, I think, on Friday or Saturday, but I'm like, oh, I'm going to save it because Seth likes this show.
Yeah, I do.
But I was thinking of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I was thinking of that.
I've never really watched Buffy. So.
Yeah. Well, Sarah Michelle Gellar is hoping some original Buffy the Vampire Slayer characters arise from the dead for the forthcoming reboot. The actress is leading the charge on this, like a lot of people are doing with their projects. We talked about this with Emilio Estevez in Young Guns 3.
That's right.
Stuff like that. Things that they kind of made their name on. kind of going back to and revamping them, bringing them back, what have you. The original series went from 97 to 2003, and it does this is in the works. This is happening.
Cool.
It's just a matter of who they're bringing in. Star Wars Skeleton Crew actress Ryan Kieran Armstrong has also been cast in this. It's going to be on Hulu. And recent interview with Vanity Fair, Geller was teasing the Buffy reboot and saying that it will be a lighter than the last few seasons of the original, and we will try to find a balance between new and old characters. My dream is to bring back everyone who died, but space will have to be made for new stories as well.
Right. Yep. Which is probably the best way to go about it, really. Yeah.
I imagine that some of this is being a younger actress and stuff in the game, and her star, right, her prime being where it was, and then her hitting her 30s and everything, and you know, the way that Hollywood treats you after that.
Right.
But it also just feels like she's really handled her career smart.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like she's made very smart decisions.
Very intelligent.
And doesn't work when she doesn't have to. So it really feels like a lot of this is a passion project, too. Mm-hmm. Just something she wants to be a part of and wants to do for the fans and just, you know, in general.
I'm glad that they're going in the direction they are with it, though, because it's, you know, the original was supposed to be a horror genre,
yeah.
Where now horror is so gross.
It's overrun.
Yeah. Ugh. So I'm glad they're taking it in a more fun direction, because I think that'll bring in more people.
Yeah. Have either of you ever watched America's Got Talent?
A little
no.
bit.
Never. Not a frame.
I've
seen clips of it more so than actually like watching the show regularly.
Same here. Yeah. And usually if I saw any clips or anything like that, it was usually because somebody else was making fun of said clip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, I saw more of the comedian than I did the actual clip or anything. So I don't know much about the show or anything like that, but it is going into its 20th season, which was very shocking to me. And if you happen to get the show, you must be okay with being publicly ridiculed. No, really, it's a rule.
Oh, really?
The contract that contestants sign includes the stipulation that, quote, their appearance, depiction, and portrayal may be disparaging, defamatory, embarrassing, or of an otherwise unfavorable nature. Mm-hmm. This probably seems like a no-brainer, since it's something most really reality shows include in their contracts.
Right.
It's probably why you don't see the quote villain on a reality show trying to sue producers. You know, somebody that may come across in a bad light, they oftentimes don't have any legal standing
to be able to do
anything like that. So here are some other rules contestants have to follow. Singers aren't always in charge of the songs they perform. They work with producers to choose which songs showcase their vocals. Plus, they have to have, of course, legal licensing.
Which is very important. You do a certain song and you can't afford it, they're not going to let you do it. Yep.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to hear any Rolling Stones songs being covered in any of these shows or anything like that. When contestants make it to the, quote, live shows, they work with the show's wardrobe department for performance outfits.
Okay, that makes sense.
Not wearing their own clothes. the use of props or animals have to be approved by producers beforehand for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Every contestant goes through a 90-second open call audition first before being selected by producers to audition in front of the judges.
Oh, so they have like a pre-judge thing. Okay. Only 90 seconds. Wow. That's not a lot of time.
There is a couple of really good directors out there that do this, where you were like, oh my God, I have an audition with this guy. This is going to be amazing. This is really cool. And you psych yourself up and you build yourself up. And I got my monologue and I get in there and you're doing this. And now it's the assistant director you're talking to. This is just an interview. You're going to find out later if you're going to get to meet Paul Thomas Anderson or any of these things.
Right, like, exactly.
It happens with the acting game a lot. I'm not too surprised with that.
No, not at all.
And
especially with the number of people that are auditioning.
Contestants get their living expenses covered, since they aren't paid for appearing on the show.
So they get a stipend, basically, to do that, because that's legally not considered income. So, yeah.
And you can go to peoplemagazine.com to find the complete article. I think the most surprising thing about this to me was that there was nothing surprising about it to me.
No, not really.
I actually was a little, generally, and I'm not trying to be funny, I genuinely was surprised by that. I really expected this to be a lot darker, to be honest with you, than it is and everything.
Must stand in place for 5 hours now.
Which then leaves the darkness part of this up to the producers,
yep.
Where it often falls in things.
darkness.
It's interesting that because to me, so much of this on the surface, well, reality TV should be a lot more fun. It should be a lot lighthearted. It should be, you know, fun and silly and all these things and stuff. Is anybody else tired of the only reason people are watching these? Like, I remember growing up, my uncle was a big NASCAR fan.
Mm.
Really loved the sport a lot. But he would get so angry at people that basically just watched it for the crashes.
Mm.
They were just sitting there with their beer, just waiting for a crash.
Yep.
Is anybody else tired of that with reality TV? Like, no, who's watching reality TV for the content? And how many people are watching it just for the train wreck?
Mm.
I don't know. To me, that just seems so
right.
Lame and boring. The
fact that it's written into the contract that you will be ridiculed and you have no recourse to come back against it seems like it's setting it up. The America's Got Talent is setting it up for that.
Mm-hmm.
People are watching because they want to see some people fail.
Mess
they
up.
They want to see some people ridiculed, mm-hmm. which is sad. That mm-hmm. is really sad. But you know what it makes me think of, James?
Mm.
America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that is kind of one of the very first reality TV shows.
In a lot of ways, you are correct.
In a lot of ways, because it was people sending in their own home videos of things that they did that were mm-hmm. worth laughing at.
Yeah, yeah. Usually, like, being hurt, you know, or something
way.
Like
that. Yeah, right. Falling.
Or falling over or getting hit in the face with the ball, right?
Yeah. Funny things kids say. I mean, all the little short clips we're watching now on social media and YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real precursor to all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very fair. I blame Bob Saget.
I was just thinking, so they go from Bob Saget and then Tom Bergeron, two incredible hosts. Mm-hmm. And I just, the NBA, I was getting ready to watch, I think, Game 4 or whatever it was. And they had America's Home, but I'm pretty sure it was that I was watching. Mm-hmm. They had that on beforehand. And Alfonso,
yep. I forget his last name, but yes.
Yeah, but the guy from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yep. And Dancing with the Stars now, too, yeah.
Yeah, I knew he was hosting. Allison Hannigan was co-hosting it with him.
What?
From
that's
American
new.
Pie and all that.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. So they got two hosts on that show.
I think that's newer, yeah.
Just a little look behind the curtain, everybody. That costs a lot of money. Like, most shows only have one host because of the money it costs and
right,
everything.
Exactly.
So to me, my first thought was, wow, this show is doing well. That's
I didn't know it was still around.
That's kind of fun, I think, that show's not only doing well, but that, like, you know, that it's still on the airwaves and everything.
Yep.
And it probably has never been more prevalent or more makes more sense to have it on.
Right, exactly.
That's a really good note, Mo.
Well, and the other thing I want to comment on here is that, yes, I do watch clips of it every once in a while, and a lot of times it's just to see Simon Cowell be blown out of his chair by by someone really talented. But the other thing I like watching clips of are the Got Talents from all over the world.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So to experience, you know, talented everyday people from all walks of life, it's mm-hmm. really neat.
Suzanne Boyle discovered that way, of mm-hmm. course. One of the last people I can think of that was a literally overnight sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
She did that show.
That was Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm with you. I really love, like, those clips catch me all the time. They come mm-hmm. up on my algorithm
or Australia's Got Talent and...
Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a quick time out. We're going to come back, and we're talking about 15 things you should never store in your garage. We got that coming up for you. We're going to talk
car.
Newsletter. No. Do I see car in there? We'll find out.
We will.
Come up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Ha! Get in the hot tub. Little James Brown to play us in. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there.
Noted Little Richard impersonator, James Brown.
That's amazing. That's just an amazing thing. According to Southern Living, if you live anywhere with heat, humidity, or cold winters, your garage is not a good place for storage.
Mm,
so
fair.
Anywhere.
Yeah, basically.
Anywhere. And here's why. Moisture and temperature fluctuations will ruin the stuff over a long period of time. Mm. Bugs can get into those sealed containers. Mm. Rodents run around and, you know, I mean, imagine being a squirrel or, you know, any of these
mouse
things.
Or something, yeah.
You're bopping around in the big old wide world, and then all of a sudden you see a deluxe apartment.
Yeah, exactly. It's huge.
You're just going to move right into it. It's winter. It's cold. And here, so there's all these things going on. Climate control storage spaces can be expensive, but maybe they're worth it if you want your stuff to be kept safe.
Hmm.
So they did this study here, Southern Living, of the 15 things that you should never keep and never store in your garage.
Okay.
We'll go through these here.
All right.
Pet food.
Mm.
Makes sense.
Oh, very dangerous for rodents, especially. Yeah.
Wine.
Hmm. Yeah.
Also makes sense.
Wait, what?
Climate control.
Who's storing their wine in the garage?
Yeah, I don't. It's too far away.
If you're rich enough to collect wine, I mean, seriously, you should have like a wine room.
Yeah. I mean, look, to that top 1% that listens to our show, and wow, that's amazing. That threw me.
Well, they probably have climate control garages, though.
That's true too. Yeah.
You can't be a wine collector without a wine cellar.
I mean,
you gotta have the wine cellar.
You gotta have it,
and it's gotta be dimly lit. And you should probably be a Bond villain. You should probably be a Bond villain.
And there should
villain.
Be oak barrels down
there. Yes.
Yes, for no apparent reason, but yes. Yeah.
And stone steps.
And you have to have one bottle that's dusty. So you can blow the dust off it.
I like someone who makes a new one and just has to have the dust brought in to make it look better. Make my bottles all dusty. Make it look authentic.
Gets mad at housekeeping. Did you
clean off the dust?
You cleaned off the dust. What did you
dare
do?
You?
We shipped that in.
Darn it.
Dust from France.
That was French dust. The French dust. You could hear it. Oh. Blankets and clothing you should not keep in there as well.
Fair. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Here, now, I think a lot of this has made sense. Mm-hmm. And this one, I think, stands out. Paint.
Mm. Ooh, I'm guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Oh, me too.
I brought it inside for the winter.
Oh, see,
I knew it would get ruined.
I don't have a lot. I just got a couple of smaller cans, but it's like I'm never probably going to use it again. I don't know why I'm
not
saving
now.
It. No,
no. But how many things we have in our apartments or our houses that we're never going to use again? And deep in our brain, we know that.
We know
but
it.
We refuse to let them go.
It's still there.
I think that's a cardboard box. Yeah, I think half
it's
the
a nice
things.
Nice box, man.
It's a great box. It will get used, Melissa. I believe
oh,
it.
Oh my God. Who hasn't had that thought? Terrible. It's terrible.
Firewood is another one.
Uh-oh.
That's a tough one.
We are guilty in my household of this. Oh no.
Okay, but where else do you store firewood?
That's the thing is with some of this stuff.
We had a woodshed when I was a kid because we burned wood.
Mm-hmm.
And it
me too.
I mean it was not really. It wasn't a garage, but
no.
I don't know. I guess it had more ventilation, more insides.
I think what you should have is like a little covered...
like a shack.
Yeah, or just something like a little lean-to-like thing, just to cover the wood, you know, with like a tarp or
but
something.
But it can still breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not damp.
Man, I love tarps. Tarps are great.
Tarps are awesome.
We use tarps for so much.
Yeah.
Propane tanks is another one you should not be keeping in there. We'll be talking to my dad about that.
That can be dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to just put these three together. Important documents or paperwork, photographs, and books.
Yes.
Again. They all make, I think, they're pretty self-explanatory. I know.
It is true, but it can be so tempting.
Yes.
You have that space. It's like, what can I do with the space that I have? Storage, right?
Yes, that 100%, along with it's not in my vision. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it, so I know.
Constantly, right?
Yes, yep. Yes. Yep. Electronics come on this.
Mm-hmm.
Artwork.
Yeah, whoa. Yep. Don't store those paintings out there.
Man, that's...
Why aren't the paintings on your walls, by the way?
Why did I put my Van Gogh in the garage?
Why did I do that?
Stuffed animals. Okay, I don't know who's doing that.
Yeah, okay, again.
Pillows.
Yep.
Mm, yeah.
I'm seeing a very strong theme here, yeah. Anything with cloth, anything that can be...
anything that would be damaged by moisture.
By moisture, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then finally, chemicals and easily flammable items. Like chemicals.
like flammable chemicals.
Mm.
Okay, but hold on. Where am I supposed to store my gas tank?
See, that's the...
Or my mower.
Or on your vehicle, for that matter.
So I shouldn't be putting my car in my garage?
See, I was right.
Wait a minute.
You were right.
I was right.
You're
right. End. Yeah.
The last place you want to put your car is the garage, apparently.
That's right.
The you need a garage for your car. You need a special garage for, and then your garage for your stuff.
You just need a canopy. That's apparently what you need. Just cover your car for rain
car
and stuff.
Canopy.
Yep. That's what you need.
We're it's one of the more challenging things of life is where to put your stuff.
Yeah.
How to arrange things and what to do with these things. And
George Carlin was right.
All this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carlin
was right.
The first thing
what I to do with
of.
My stuff. Yeah.
We got all this stuff, and then I need more stuff, and I got to get rid of the old stuff. It's such a great bit. Melissa, I wanted to just touch on the WFHR newsletter real quick. Remind everybody that by tomorrow at noon they'll have a new edition.
That's right. It comes out at noon on Thursdays every week, and we'll have local stories in there. They're hard at work being authored as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll
you can hear them writing now if you listen closely.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
you could earlier.
There's a lot going on with that. We're really excited to bring it to you. Be sure to sign up for that WFHR newsletter. It is your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news. We are covering it as much as we can, but we always like to hear from you if there's things that you would like us to cover.
That's
yes,
right.
Because when you sign up, you can tell us, give us some feedback. And all you need to sign up is your email address.
That's it. Easy peasy.
And it's free.
Yep. Do that and check out some of the great reporting and great work being done by our civic media friends and family, mm-hmm. and of course our team here at WFHR and WIRI.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for that, everybody. Get to WFHR.com right now. Do it. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, WFHR. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. It is finally summer. A lot of people have a little bit of extra free time, and maybe you're looking for hobbies or things to do, but not many people out there have a lot of money to be able to do a lot.
Right.
And this has been the case, I would say, probably the last couple of summers, but this is something that goes back to even when we were kids, and, you know, parents wanting to find ways or to do things without necessarily, you know, breaking the bank here and all
right.
that. So here we go. Someone asked the internet, what's the cheapest hobby someone can get into? Here are some of the most popular responses that we can say on the air.
Okay.
reading.
Yes, PG.
Reading.
Yes.
Especially when you borrow books, get a library card, and you're set.
Nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better.
And we have fantastic libraries here.
I want to say really quick that we are very lucky in Wisconsin Rapids to be a part of probably one of the best library consortiums in the state, because we're not only connected with the Madison libraries, which have a giant number of books. It's funny because we're on the very northern end of that consortium. My sister works at the library that's on the very bottom part in Deerfield, Wisconsin, which is way down in the southern part of the state. But we are connected by that same system, which means you can get a book from any one of those libraries very easily.
It's bad enough that I'm behind in points with my brother and sister. My mom already likes your voice, Seth. You just basically took everything that I would have said. That would have been basically everything my mother would have said. I'm glad you brought this up. Mm-hmm. It's something that her and anybody I almost talk, or any of the directors at the Macmillan, it's one of the first things we talk about is how interconnected our libraries are and
yes.
how strong our library system mm-hmm. is here in Wisconsin. There's a lot of pride for people to work in that industry with that, and I
yes.
think that's really cool. We should all take pride in that.
Yes, we should.
It's a really cool note. And it means, you know, these books are so accessible to you wherever you are.
If we don't have it at Macmillan, they can probably get it from one of the other
yeah.
libraries.
And it may not be surprising to people, well, nowadays that's the case. It's been that way for a very,
very,
very long
time.
Wow, mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Bird watching. There's a free app called
yes.
Merlin Bird ID that my mom and I, speaking of her, that my mom and I use all the time.
Very nice.
I like bird watching. That's fun.
That's very cool.
Writing. Journaling, poetry, or even fan fiction is fun to do. You don't have to be Shakespeare. Writing is just fun.
Yeah. Just if you have an idea, just write it down. You never know what
yeah.
can happen from that.
And
like
journaling
Melissa's,
is a great outlet.
Like Melissa's Outlander fanfic. I'm sure it's
yes.
really good. So,
really,
yeah.
Really, you got to let us read that one of these days, Melissa. You got to let us.
I don't know if that's the fanfic I'd write. But
oh, okay. I just knew that was one series you liked, so.
Yeah, it is.
Rock collecting. Just, you know, walking Ooh. Around, collecting minerals.
Yeah.
You need a nice rock tumbler.
Oh,
boy, that's so geeky,
you know,
but I don't care.
If you also like rocks, you're my people.
Yes.
Rocks. I'm a huge rock collector.
I have a box, a shoebox full of shiny tumbled agates from my grandfather who did that for fun. It's very cool. It looks very nice.
What does the rock tumbler do? Does it?
It shines them up. Them. It polishes the rock. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. It makes them look nice and shiny.
Interesting.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah. It just takes a really long time and it's loud.
Yeah, that's true.
And the cheap ones you get as a kid in the kit, they break.
Yeah. You need a sturdy one. Yeah.
Exercise. It's easier to be active without a gym membership in the summer.
Mm-hmm. It's not a hobby.
Oh, that sigh from Melissa was great. Yeah, that groan. Good. I loved it. Man, I want to cut that out and just use that. It's great.
Chess or board gaming? And board games in general.
Yes, absolutely.
Board games are fun. And I mean, and if you already have them, yes, they're cheap. If you have to buy them, they're expensive.
Right.
But those really nice board games now, like Ticket to Ride or what's the other one? Dominion. Or
Catan, like, or something like
that. Yeah, they're like $60 plus dollars.
Really?
But to be fair, we are in a golden age of board games right now.
Yeah,
because they have some amazing games. But you're right, they tend to be more expensive now too. That's the downside. But
this is another thing that our library is fantastic.
That's
you can
right.
check out board games at you the can. Library.
You can.
Origami. There are plenty of instruction videos on YouTube, and a lot of people that enjoy doing this, again, that maybe aren't making the perfect origami you've seen TV or movies or something, but really enjoy the process. I've known a couple of people that really have enjoyed that over
the
years.
Think of the sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
Yeah. Of actually creating something like that. Yeah.
We used to have a book, an origami book, when I was a kid, and we would try to make some of those things, and man, some of them are tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like shadow art, too. You know, those two go hand in hand for me.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Geocaching.
Geocaching.
Outdoor recreational activity in which participants use a global positioning system, receiver to or mobile device, and other navigational techniques to hide and seek containers called geocaches.
Yes.
It's a cool thing. It's almost
I've done
like
it a few times. Yeah, it is. It's fun.
I've never
it is
done
fun.
It, but I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest. I'd never heard of this.
Could do a big one around town.
I would definitely
get a really big one. Yeah. But all you need is a navigation on your phone. That's all you need. So
feels like a kind of fun promotional idea kind of thing. I might have to
an idea.
My brain's percolating over here. Cooking. It'll probably help with meal costs in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes up some time.
It sure does. Depends on what you're making.
Cooking is a fun hobby. I will say that.
Because then you get to eat what you do. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it turns out.
Yeah.
Few things feel better, too, than cooking for people.
Or even if it doesn't, because you don't have any money to replace it.
Right. You need to eat it. Sorry, I have to eat this.
Drawing, arts, and crafts. Mm-hmm. This is another one with a lot of tutorials online, if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Give you some ideas.
Can you draw the turtle? Can you? God, if anybody gets that joke.
Oh, my gosh. Or wait, was it turtle and what was the other animal?
Was it
a rabbit or something like that? Yeah.
But if you could draw these,
you might have a career in comic books. Yes. Every comic book had that ad.
What are you guys talking about?
It was an ad in every comic book when you were a kid. So they had a picture of like a turtle, cartoon turtle, or a rabbit. And what you would do is you would draw it, send in like $25, and you may be ready for a career in comic drawing.
Send in $25.
Yeah, I think you had to pay for it.
What
a
scam.
It probably was. But it was in every comic book. They had it.
And it must have been a little successful because they ended up turning that into a commercial that you would see at like 2 in the morning.
Oh, God.
You can imagine how much money they made on that?
I can't. Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
Casual hiking or camping can be fun to do this time of year.
Casual.
It doesn't usually cost a lot. I mean, you might have to.
Camping would cost more, but hiking,
Yeah.
Good pair of shoes, that's all you need.
Yeah, I feel like the person that did this article has never camped, because even I know, and I've never camped, but even I know.
Well,
that, you know,
if you have all the materials, right?
Right.
You got your tent and stuff. You go to State Park, they don't charge much for a campsite. So,
As long as you can get a campsite.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Gardening. Gardening comes on here as well.
Mm-hmm. That's an investment of time for sure.
It is.
I got two more here. One interesting and one, I think, noteworthy or certainly noticeable. Collecting brochures, someone said.
Ooh.
Quote, I collect brochures from visitor centers, hotels, museums, and so on, and most of the time I don't have to pay. And
that's true.
They don't know if they're going to go to this place or not, but they really love collecting these and making thinking about doing it and stuff.
I mean, I guess it's kind of, I used to do that as a kid. Like, we stopped in the Dells every
year. You want brochures?
Go to the Dells. They have brochure stands that rival anything I've seen anywhere else. Because they're huge. They have so many brochures. And they're so colorful and fun.
They are fun. I always enjoyed reading the tour, the Dells guide, like the book that they put out every year of like all of the stuff in the Dells. That was always a fun read.
So, yeah, because there's so much to do there.
So coming back from Cleveland, we stopped in Ohio. You know, they don't have rest areas. They have travel centers because it's a turnpike. And you don't have to pay to get off and then get back on again. You just go to the travel center and they have...
But you just can't go anywhere else.
Yeah, right. But they have gas and they have restaurants and stuff there. So, you know, you can do stuff. But they have a visitor center thing with a bunch of brochures. And I, just for fun, I picked up the one on Toledo. Now I really want to go to Toledo because there's really cool things there.
Sure.
Just because, well, I mean, they did a good job with it. I mean, there's not only the Mud Hens are there, of course, the Toledo Mud Hens, a famous minor league baseball team is there, but a lot of other cool things. Did you know Toledo is the glass city? That is what it's called.
Huh.
The city of glass. Because they had a lot of glass factories there at one point. Oh. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And finally on the list, pickleball.
Everyone's into pickleball. Yep.
That's a big one. That is a big one. A lot of people enjoy
I don't think
that.
It would be that expensive, right?
It's not unless you get injured.
Then the medical bills. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a whole other. Then your summer's taken care of.
Ask the chiropractors around here how many pickleball injuries they treat.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and then if you do get hurt.
Just be careful.
If you get hurt, you can just pick up, go back to the beginning and read books.
Yep,
back to that hobby, you know? You have plenty of time. Yeah.
Books will never steer you wrong.
That's right.
It's always a good one.
I didn't see knitting or hear knitting or crocheting on that list.
No.
That was included with crafts. I guess you could put that in with crafts.
Yeah. I suppose.
And your macrame. You know, that stuff.
Fiber arts should be
fiber arts. Yeah, yeah.
That's a funny word to me. I don't know why.
Fiber arts?
Fiber arts is a funny phrase. I don't know why. I just find it humorous.
It's good. I like funny phrases. We love them around here. We'll be back with more show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James wrapping things up, taking you to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for joining us.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Want to get into some good stories of the day. Before that, let's talk about our schedule and some great stuff going on in our community. Want to remind you that the Rapids Report will be streaming exclusively at WFHR.com starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Check out the great interviews that we've done in the past weeks, of course, and the ones we'll have for you today premiering. Like, we're going to be joined by Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, along with Lance Plimmel from our Wood County Board.
Oh, wow. A twofer.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have them on with us. And not just that, it's going to get really hot in here because we're going to have Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in as well.
Going to pack the people in today. Yeah.
Nice. Big shout out to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We appreciate them joining us. You can catch the recording at their YouTube page. And in part two, we're going to hang out with our friends from the ODC. Ann Lee Peck is going to be with us.
Nice.
She might bring some friends. We'll see.
Yeah.
A lot of great things going on over at the ODC. Check out the Rapids Report streaming exclusively at WFHR.com every day at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Rafter Base. Oh, we have Playmakers on today for you.
Yep.
You should join us for that on WIRI from 4 to 5. Sports director here at the studios, Michael Comer, will be joining me.
Nice.
I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things going on in sports right now. Some of the more interesting things in baseball and certainly locally getting ready for local sports.
Again. Oh, my gosh. She's already got the list, for at least a partial list of the football games already.
Yeah.
In the studio. So it's like, oh, yeah, gearing up already.
And the Rafters are going to be hitting the diamond in Michigan today.
Yeah.
5:20 start time. The Rafters are in Michigan this week, and the start times are an hour earlier than here in Wisconsin. Keep that in mind, everybody.
Yes.
And they'll take it on Royal Oak at Royal Oak in Michigan.
In Royal Oak. Again, I still have to look up if that's where the charcoal is from. I must know. Yeah. Is that Royal Oak charcoal? Yeah. Is that from Royal Oak, Michigan?
And Seth, it's Wednesday. We know what that means.
Well, it's time for some bingo.
Bingo.
There's no game to bingo. Go to tonight, so you might as well go do some bingo. Doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. And it's all happening down at Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, 430 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
Be sure to check that out.
Everybody. Always a fun time.
Get on over there.
Yes.
And Team Rapids is honoring the past and celebrating the future. Join them at the Ridges tonight from 6 to 9 for a farewell to Coach Biola and a new era beginning with Coach Krenz.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be going from 6 to 9 tonight, again at the Ridges at 2311 Griffith Avenue. It's going to be free admission, cash bar and appetizers, and special presenters like Tom Bergeson from Class 1980, three-star general and center command leader.
Wow.
Mark Kramenacher from 2005, head football coach, Little Chute High School. And Vince Beagle, a man who needs no introduction here in Wisconsin Rapids, former NFL player, University of UW-Madison, and all of the other great accolades for him. Mm-hmm. And a Lincoln alum, too, I want to mention.
Yes.
I have to mention that.
Yes, that's very cool.
Join them for Team Rapids tonight. This is going to be a really fun celebration to celebrate Coach Biola and his great career, along with bringing in Coach Krenz and letting him get to know the area a little bit. Shout out to the Ridges, too.
Yeah.
The storms have affected a number of our areas, like the Ridges and stuff out there. Appreciate the way this community comes together. A real quick note here that I have to mention.
Okay.
There was a story that I saw on Channel 9 last night about a bowling alley that got destroyed a couple months back, maybe a year ago, from a fire. And it's just a local business and everything. And they just are reopening their doors very soon here.
Oh, very cool.
And the owner was on there and he was talking about how, hundreds of people came out and were going to help and stuff. And if he had used all this, or all these people, he might have been open sooner and stuff, and how great it was. And I'm watching the story and listening to it. And they're putting energy in the story and everything. But it's a story that it didn't have a lot of weight to it. It wasn't really a huge headline or anything like that, because we've been hearing that story our whole lives.
Mm.
And our parents have heard that story their whole lives. Local business gets hurt. Community comes together.
Right.
Family loses everything in a fire. Community comes together. Mm-hmm. Miss me with the idea that humanity is in a bad place, or that we're going to lose our democracy, or any of these things. We have stories every single moment of our lives that tell us the good in the world, the good in humanity. Right. I know that there is a lot of negative out there. I know it can bog us down. Remind you don't need a palate cleanser. Life is that. It's all around us. Mm-hmm. It's happening all the time. And I think that we have normalized and gotten used to so many stories that happen literally every day.
Every day.
People stepping up and being the good in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Some good people that we know, our friends over at Family Natural Foods, have their free wellness seminar going on tonight.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
It's going to be natural medicines that outperform drugs. And it's going to be held, the main host, Cheryl Myers. She is from Terry Naturally.
Nice.
Really knows her stuff. Great talker. Really fun to listen to. Cheryl's a health nurse, author, expert on natural medicine. She really knows her stuff.
Okay.
This is going to go on tonight at 5:15 at the First Baptist Church at 910 McKinley Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You see that beautiful church right behind Family Natural Foods. That's where you'll go. Head on down there tonight at 5:15 and enjoy. They got a bunch of great specials going on afterwards. A lot of great stuff happening over there. Buy local, support our friends at Family Natural Foods. And we just had Lacey from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce in yesterday.
That's right.
It was great hanging out with Lacey and getting her last name right finally, and all of that. You should have seen the look on her face when I got it right. She was so happy.
She wasn't expecting it.
Didn't see it coming. I finally know what that look looks like. I finally know with it. Lacey and the gang over there do an amazing job with Lunch by the River, and they got a good one coming up tomorrow. Greenway RV Sales and Services are their exclusive exclusive sponsor for it, and they're going to have some great entertainment. And Lacey told us that there was a bit of a change with that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rod the Sax Man going to be
Rod
down there.
The Sax Man, which is I heard that when I was taking care of the podcast yesterday, and I was like, that is awesome. Yeah. Why have I not heard of Rod the Sax Man before?
We need to get him
a great name.
We do.
On every show.
Yes,
every
do.
Show we're
we
doing.
Need to do our new theme song is
yes,
what he needs to do.
Yes, I want to get to know Rod much better. You can hear Rod tomorrow along with taking in some of our great food trucks and some wonderful stuff. Enjoy Lunch by the River every Thursday all summer long, 11:30 to 1, over at Veterans Memorial Park right here in Rapids.
Right.
Enjoy that, everybody. Take that in. Seth got a couple other things he wanted to mention. A
couple more quick things here, everyone. Of course, the Downtown Farmers Market is up and running once again. Summer is here, and it is down on First Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids every Thursday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Head on down there a couple of times that I've seen it open this year. Already hopping. I mean, the joint's jumping, everyone. You want to get down there. There's always great stuff. Of course, all the vendors there, but they also have special things going on every week as well. So you want to head on down on Thursdays and Saturdays to the Downtown Farmers Market. And while you're there, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump over to the Moravian Church. We have our book bin out, everybody. We want your books for the fall book sale, the community book sale coming up October 9th through the 11th. You can bring your books over to the Moravian Church through September 15th. It's at 310 First Avenue South. In the parking lot just off of Goggins, and the book bin is by the glass doors. Also, a reminder, if you were there when the office is open, you can always bring them inside as well. Say the weather is not great. You can always but they're usually open from about 8 to 1, the offices, so you can always bring them in there during that time as well.
Don't store books in the garage or in the book bin when it's raining.
That's right. Don't do that. Don't do that. We want to use them.
Here's an interesting good story right here. File this under it is a thought that counts in the follow through. A TikToker named Kinney Carpenter is trending after her friend gave her an open bag of chips for her 30th birthday. She didn't understand this or anything. She didn't know what to think until she opened the bag and realized all of the chips were folded, her favorite type. Her friend bought a bunch of bags and picked out all the folded ones for her and put them into the bag.
Oh, wow.
Folded chips.
Kinney says once she realized what her friend did, she just teared up immediately. Aww. Quote, I never thought I'd be crying over a bag of potato chips, but here I am.
That proves that friend knows you really well.
Thoughtful.
The folded ones have more seasoning on them, too.
I like the folded ones.
Yeah.
I swear to God. That's a smart person right there.
Double the crunch.
A new study found killer whales use help to groom each other and scratch each other's backs.
Oh, my gosh.
It's apparently the first documented case of marine mammals making tools.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Really, that's fascinating.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, they're going to take over someday.
Yep. The whales.
We always knew it.
Thanks for the fish. Have a towel.
There you go.
Have a Santa towel. Santa Jaws.
A high school grad in New York is trending after she handed out gifts to everyone in her class. 17-year-old Sophia Nielsen is a budding artist and did a portrait for every single one of her classmates, all 110 of them.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of work.
Awesome.
That's really cool.
And great practice on portraits.
Absolutely.
Well done.
And
if
she becomes a famous artist, like I believe she will, every one of those portraits, man,
will be worth money. One of a kind.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty neat, though. What a great gift.
Workers at a Pittsburgh airport helped track down a diamond that fell out of a woman's engagement ring on Friday on the 13th. Poor thing. Oh, man. It happened with her when her hand got pinched in her suitcase in the baggage carousel. She didn't realize until 30 minutes later, and she went back but couldn't find it. They helped her look for 90 minutes with no luck, and then she left. But then they spent another 4 hours searching on their own and finally pulled it out of the machine.
Wow. Amazing.
Good on them.
That's cool. That's awesome. A great story.
She and her husband had been married for 34 years, got engaged on Friday the 13th, also got married on Friday the 13th, and lost the diamond on Friday the 13th.
That's awesome.
It's too
That's
awesome.
Perfect. It was then found on Friday the 13th.
It's crazy.
Because
That's
it was
cool.
4 hours later.
Have a great day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.